We are holding in Maseches Brachas Davav Tamid Aleph, basically halfway down the medium-sized lines, 40% down to the main thing. Two dots ended where we're picking up from today, where they ended. The learning tonight should be for a foolish lema for Chana Bas Efrat, who's a little girl who's the neighborhood here is in a coma, going to open heart surgery tomorrow, I understand. So, okay. So now we are picking up with another memra of Ab Bin Yamin. Perhaps there's no connection all more than that. Perhaps the connection is, although we got sidetracked yesterday with the topic of Mazikin, but he had a previous halacha about where you should daven. Remember, he said you should daven. Talking about not having something in the chotzes between the wall, even that didn't come out that way. So it came out at the end about davening first thing in the morning. But in any case, the idea of how your koveya, where your koveya place daven, and how you should daven, and different halachas in the Siman Zayin of Siman Tzadi Borachaim come up a lot over these amudim, so maybe that's also a connection. Either way, it says Tanya, it says in the Braisa of Bin Yamin Omer, Ein Tfilah Shel Adam, the prayer of a person is not nishmas, not heard, Ella, unless, and anywhere other than a basic kinesis, than a shul. Shneim Mars, the Pasuk says, Lishmoa el arena vela tfila. I'll read the whole Pasuk to you. The Pasuk says, this is the context of the Pasuk is the tfila of Shlomo Melech when he inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash. So he says, Ufanis el tfilas avdecha, like Hashem should turn to the prayer of his servant, vel tchinaso, Hashem Elokai, fine. Lishmoa el harina vela tfila, to hear the rina, which means song, vela tfila, tfila is the prayers. Asher avdecha, that your servant mispal lefanecha kayom, that your servant prays for you today. So the question, pashtus, is why he inserted the word rina, the singing, happening before the tfila. So the drasha here is that where the rina proceeds is where the tfila follows, and if you want Hashem to be shomea to your tefillah, there first has to be rina there. So therefore, the place of rina of singing is in the basic Knesset, right? B'makom rina, the place where you sing, sham te tefillah, that's where your prayers should be. Yeah, that's the whole piece. Now, first of all, someone asked a question yesterday about this idiom about. We're talking about, we said, Kol Hanosim Mitasov in Tzafon Ladarom, everyone who put their bed north south, he'll have Banim Zacharim, boys. And the question asked yesterday was, like, not everyone who has north south beds has every child a boy, like, what gives? So I said I didn't know, and I still obviously don't know, but what I didn't answer, I would like to answer now, though in the context of this Gemara, it's the same answer. Here the Gemara again says, Ein X L O Y. It means like, sounds like saying, unless you do Y, X is not going to happen. That's how we speak in English. And here it says, look at the words, it says, Ein tfila shel adam, a person's prayer, nishmas, is not heard, el b'beis hakneses, unless you pray in a shul. So like, it sounds like you pray out of shul, you're not going to be heard, right? But the teretz, sorry? Right. Well, if you want your prayer pretty heard, it has to be done in a shul. Right? Now, the question. The answer to that question from yesterday is the same as the Hezbollah and the Mishnah today. It's a very like important yisod. I don't know if I said it this year before. I definitely said it in Mishnah year not so long ago. But the way that Chazal speak is not how the Western trained mind would like people who are speaking definitively to speak. Ever since Aristotle, probably is the founder of this. When you want to classify things, you make statements, they're sort of absolute in nature. Like you want to classify it and define things. So definition should be, you know, airtight. If you're gonna define something, it should be a good definition. And that train of thought goes down the Cartesian route, which leads lots of people today to be bothered by proofs of God and so on, because nothing ever is airtight. In any case, I don't go there. But the point is, it's when you're speaking, I don't want to, rigorously, I don't have a better word than that, I don't call it philosophically or academically, but when you're speaking precisely in English and the Western, you know, I don't call it academic or intellectual ethos, is statements have to be absolutely true. When you're saying something and you're saying a rule, principles have to be, you know, locked tight, and there's no exceptions to the principles unless you have to qualify them. And when you say something, A, this, L, or that, or call this, then that means every time. And if not every time, and if there's other exception, then it's not true. The whole thing, like, throw it out. Throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's, you know, I guess all language is based on conventions, and that's the conventions of how the Western mind thinks today, and how we are communicating. Unacceptable to say things without qualifying them that aren't true, then the whole thing goes out. You know? But that is not how Chazal spoke, period. You have to get used to that. Chazal spoke in generalities that were to convey a message, and they didn't care that when they said a principle, there were exceptions to the rule. It just doesn't bother them. There is a million examples of it. I don't know, I'm sure that's an exaggeration, but there are countless examples of it. All over Shas and Chazal, everywhere.
400.
What? 400. There are 400 examples, exactly. Very good. And it's going to bother you every single time. You haven't noticed, like, every Misha says, there are six this, and or the principle is this, and then parents say, oh, and also this, oh, and Tanavishar, and left this out, and not this, and not also that. Like, you have to get used to that. Like, it rubs the Western trained mind the wrong way, because it bugs you. Like, yesterday's thing, Kol. The pshat there has to be, I mean, for sure is, like, it's, everyone who puts the bed north and south will have boys, means, it's like, it tips the scale in the favor of that. It's segula. You know, that's all they meant, clearly. I mean, obviously, they didn't mean other than that. And here, too, again, without getting to what it really means, it certainly doesn't mean. They say, we've had other idioms written in previous Amudim, like, and oof, ela Torah. Remember we had that? And so on and so forth. And we had the pasuk, we actually darshan one pasuk two ways, if you remember, about Reshef, B'nai Reshef, if you go this way, go that way, I don't remember. That's how Chazal speak. They speak in generalities, and the fact that there's like a footnote that is like the exception to the rule doesn't bother them. They don't even speak of the footnote. It doesn't bother them. It's going to bother you, but it shouldn't bother you, because you have to like hear Chazal in their language, their idiom speaking. Yeah. Well, let's take each puzzle as it comes, but before we say how they work. I mean, sometimes psukim are just a smakta ba'alma, and sometimes psukim work in different ways. That's beyond the point here, but really, because there's a different point, which I don't want to get too far off topic really about, but this part you should know. Going into Bavli, you should know this ahead of time. Chazal knew the Torah Shebaal Peh from the time Moshe came down and told it to everyone, way before the Chumash was written, even. At all. And certainly after the Chumash was written, they had Torah Shebaal Peh, like our first night of Hakdama. Then what Chazal did for the next period of Chazal is to the Ikar work. So the Orach Chaim explains it in the, you see there's an Orach Chaim there in Tazria, like Perek Gimel in Vayikra. You can look there, you can see he speaks out at this point here that Chazal are trying to find allusions in the Psukim to what we already know in the Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Psukim don't have to be like the proof, and the drasha doesn't have to be airtight at all. It's just showing what we knew was true before we got to the Pasuk. We're now finding the Yitur to stick it into the Pasuk and so on. That's going way beyond our topic for the minute. We'll talk about it when I get to, we haven't hardly any drushes really like that yet, Yitur and so on. But anyways, here, back to our topic here, I'm just saying, when they say your prayer isn't heard unless it's in the shul, that even if you take it on face value, that shouldn't bother you. That doesn't necessarily mean like outside the shul won't be heard. And taka, the pshat is that your tefillah will certainly maybe reject. This is the pashup pshat with the proportion. Your tefillahs may be rejected if you daven outside of shul and without a minyan on your own. If you daven by yourself outside of shul, outside of a minyan, you may get up, you may not get up your tefillahs. But you're guaranteed if you pray in a shul that at least your prayer will be heard. That's the pshat. There's no guarantee that your prayer will be heard. So here I can actually read some words in that makes it like the Loctite rule again. But I'm saying, well, don't get bugged down by that. You don't need that. Anyway, so that's first of all. Now, the Marshat speaks out here right away that don't, even though it says, based on Knesset, he says, Kol Shekin Beis Midrash. Of course, Beis Midrash, so you see already like another breaking of the rule. because the Kedushin based Midrash, where you learn Torah, is more than a base Knesset. In Chazal's time, a base Knesset is like a place like that they only dominate, they didn't learn it. Like, maybe like Shtibloch, yeah, sort of like that today. In those days, like, there was a shul out, like, between the field and home, and, like, they just, you know, they stopped, they dominated, they went on their way, and, like, that was it. It was just for praying. The different rules. So, that's Marsha. Now, what makes the shul special? The singing. So, look at the Rashi inside. There are two approaches to the Rashi. Not so different, but I want to bring it out because I think it's very important. Most certain. And it's an important point here. Rashi says, B'makom Rina, see, it's basically smack down the middle of the Rashi, the middle of Rashi, more or less, on the column. It says, the place, B'makom Rina, the place of singing. B'beis HaKnesses, that's in the shul. Shesham, because over there, Omrim HaTzibur, the Tzibur says, Shiros B'Tishbachos, songs and praises, B'Ne'imos Kol, with Arev, with like a, you know, a pleasant sounding voice.
And it's together.
Sorry?
It means voices mixed together?
So, what I think the Ikar Pshat is, based on how I explained the Drasha to you, that the Rina comes before the Tefillah, the point is, that's the place where people sing to Hashem, and therefore that's the place where Hashem, so to speak, hangs out, what everyone called loosely, and therefore, like, that's where your Tefillah go up. But, like, it's not the... As opposed to someone learned, maybe that you were saying, that it's when you daven in a shul, you don't rush it. Like, everyone's singing together, and prayers that are sung together, like, and said nicely, like, go up. Whereas things that you mumble to yourself in your house, be yechidus, don't. I don't particularly care for that latter shot. I really like the former.
Does that mean mixed?
No. Good point. Kol Arev means like a pleasant voice. The pleasantness of a the b'ne'imas is like the pleasantness of a kol arev is like a nice voice, sweet voice, something like that. Like v'arevna, like in the when you say in the Birchas HaTorah, make the Torah sweet. That's
good. Right? Maybe that's why, because it's all done together. That's why it's sweet.
That's an interesting idea. I don't know if it's true or not. Maybe it's shot in like melody. I don't know. I can't say. Interesting idea. But that's not the push-up shot. The push-up shot is, like, that's where people get together. I mean, I think it is true. The angle is, it's a communal atmosphere over there. People sing together. But the word kol arev is not in that word there, necessarily. Now, so either way, I think I prefer the form shot, like, that's where people sing to Hashem. You see something here, an important point, which is the appropriate hanhaga in a shul is to sing. I'm not particularly addressing should we sing Karl Bach in the shul. No, but
Rashi brings here the tzibur.
I know the tzibur,
which is not in the Gemara.
I know. He's speaking out what the Rina is that where everyone sings, place where people sing. I'm just emphasizing, like, I'm getting in my, you know, this my leaping, you know, my springboard to give my editorial comment here. But it's not so far from the words themselves. That you see that people should be singing in shul. As Sfardim do. And Rashi wasn't a Sfardim, by the way. But for some reason, which I think is not good, people are allergic to singing nowadays often, and it's wrong. It's wrong mitzvah this. Like, you see there's a real value to singing as a community. Like, to mumble through. That's not what a base knesset is. The mile of a base knesset is... This more focus on that your prayer will be heard. Why? Because people sing together there. So I'm saying if you're lacking that, there's a major chesaron in your base knesses. That's what it sounds like from the words of the Gemara. Okay, that's it. So next time they put it up to vote, they should sing this couple of Shabbos. Sing hollow, for goodness sakes. Really, it's not. Mumbling hollow is not good. That's what I see from this Gemara here. My two cents. Now, fine. That's it. Now, in terms of halacha lemaisa. So it's brought down, this din is brought down explicitly in Orach Chaim, Simon Sadi, the halacha test, that a person should not daven at home, he should go to shul to daven, even be yechidus. Now, that said, the din is that it's better to daven with a minion than in a shul. So in other words, if you have two options, to daven be yechidus in a shul, let's say, or to daven with a minion at home, so you should daven with a minion at home. So that's a separate din that the Mishnah Berurah speaks out. So you have two competing values here. You have two values. You have a value of davening with the tzibur, like with a minion, and you have a value of davening in the physical shul. And they're both values, but davening with a minion is a higher value. So that means if you have a choice, daven with a minion, even not in a shul. But if you don't have a choice, you should come to your from your house to the shul can be yichidus, like, you know, later on in the evening, whatever, and you know, a night, and you get home from work 11:30 at night, no more minyan in town, you should daven marv in the shul on your way home. That's a separate halacha. Now, there is a way you can chop a rind at home. You're an onus, you can't get the shul in time. Unfortunately, the post can speak out. You can chop onto this tefillah but sibur angle if you daven when they daven, which is sort of interesting. So, in other words, I'm not exactly, like, it's funny, in a town like, even a little town like Beit Shemesh, a little big town like, you know, Yerushalayim, like, the Sibur, some Sibur, some were davening all the time, that's funny. So I'm not sure exactly how to mogder it. In those days, I assume it was like davening time in a small town and like one shul and everyone did it. But it could, lahalach lamaisa, if you find yourself sick and bad or whatever it is, you got a broken leg, you can't get in and out of shul, you know, you should daven mincha, the community davens, you know, mincha at whatever it is, 5 p.m. You should daven mincha at 5 p.m. That's a separate, and you can hop onto this. Now, there's an interesting Mishnah Berurah, this is a P.S. here. He says, therefore, you should come to shul and daven, like, say, Marv, whenever, you know, even the shuls, even though you missed the minyan, but come to daven to shul anyways. Just daven in the building. He says, if you're a Talmud Chacham, and it's going to be a Chil Hashem, because they're going to say, oh, this guy didn't daven, he's daven Yechidus, better you should stay at home. It's fascinating. So you see, like, we got these two values of davening in the tzibur and davening in the base knesses, but Chil Hashem certainly comes above that, and if people look badly at you as a Torah representative, then you should do it at home anyways to shield that Chil Hashem angle. But one of the just P.S. Before we bring out this issue of Barov Am, comes out here, that Barov Am Hadras Melech with more people is like better glory for the king, and therefore, you can choose which minyan to daven in or which shul to daven in. All things being equal, you should daven in the bigger shul with a bigger crowd, because more people singing is like, it's more of a Hashem's more, kind of more present, but certainly it's more mitzkabel. Okay.
Alexandria.
Exactly, like the base test in Alexandria. So, I know, of course, I know, but it's not right. Okay, fine.